Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, this is the last day of August. Hard to believe. A new month looms on the horizon starting tomorrow. And I would remind you that we have some incredible resources available to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, living waters, intelligent design in the oceans of the earth, origin, the second DVD, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and then King of Creation, Meditations on God's Wisdom and Works. From the tap water to the tides to the temperatures that we so very easily take for granted, the earth, well, it's an unparalleled planetary masterpiece, and it should never be carelessly pawned off as the result of blind evolutionary processes. As science advances, black boxes, well, they're being opened, and they're revealing an unanticipated Lilliputian world of overwhelming complexity and organization that has most certainly pushed the theory of evolution beyond the breaking point. And as the film Origin quite compellingly shows, naturalistic explanations concerning how the first organized form of primitive life evolved hardly corresponds to reality. Even the naturalist physicist, Sir Fred Hoyle, has aptly noted that the probability of life originating at random is so utterly minuscule as to make it absurd. And like Origin, the DVD Living Waters that I mentioned just a moment ago, it's an unforgettable film that challenges scientific materialism with the timeless truth about the origin and the complexity of life on Earth. This remarkable documentary celebrates the beauty, the brilliance of the biological systems that make life in the oceans possible. And then that last film, King of Creation, this is an extraordinary film. It highlights the fact that every day God reveals himself through two extraordinary revelations, through Scripture, of course, but also through the book of nature. And so the King of Creation is a tapestry rich with breathtaking views of our planet, of the universe that God has made. And it's all seamlessly woven into a unique and deeply touching message, a message of encouragement, a message of hope. Again, those three resources available, you can check them out on the web at equip.org. Last day, we're going to be featuring them, again, available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Equip.org. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Jason in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I was calling to ask if does Christianity require that Christians say that those who have been exposed to the Bible and read it a lot and have prayed for guidance and who have prayed for faith, and when they still don't believe, are they forced to call those people unreasonable and disingenuous? Because I get that a lot. I'm a person like that. And
you're a person like what?
It seems like I'm a person who reads the Bible a lot and prays for faith, and yet I still don't have faith. In fact, I used to be a Christian, and I changed to becoming agnostic at 27. And so it seems to me like in order for Christians to say that there is a loving God, a loving God would not punish a reasonable person if they die and they don't believe. So therefore, Christians tend to demean my character and say that I am not truly willing to believe, that I don't want to believe, and things like that.
Sure.
You understand the question?
Yeah, I do, Jason, and it's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. There's a couple of things I would say. The first thing is that what any Christian does, whether uncharitably or charitably, is not what is at the root of all of this. What's at the root of all of this is, what does God say? And if you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin, then you can use the Bible as a resource. But even beyond that, there's an argument, and I'll give you that argument in a moment. In fact, it's very much analogous to what I was saying when I was promoting these three DVDs at the top of the show here. But here's what we have. First of all, we have the light of creation. And that light of creation is such that God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. They're being understood by the things that were made. And therefore, according to the scriptures, human beings are without excuse. So if you're a reasonable person and you look at the grandeur of the created universe, both on a macro and a micro level, the only reasonable thing to deduce is that this creative handiwork had someone that made it, that created it. And if you look at a majestic painting, let's say a Mona Lisa, you don't say that just happened. You know there has to be an artist. If you look at the created handiwork that God has made, you know his divine nature, his eternal power have been clearly made to be on display. And that's why the scriptures say a person is unreasonable, and therefore that person is what without excuse. And by the way, in the book of Romans, that's only one of the arguments given by the Apostle Paul. He also gives the argument of conscience, that God has written his knowledge on the tablet of our consciousness, and therefore we are without excuse. And then in Romans chapter 3, he talks about the light of Christ. So we not only have the light of creation and the light of conscience, but we also have the light of Christ. So again, a reasonable person will look at that light and deduce there's a creator. And if they obscure that knowledge, they do it in unrighteousness. That's what the scripture tells us.
I don't have a problem with saying there is a God. I would tend to agree with you. I would lean farther towards creation and evolution. But that still doesn't mean that I have to agree that that God is the God spoken of in the Bible.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that the evidence, therefore, goes beyond the fact that there is a God, because that God has not remained unknowable, ineffable. He's also in incarnation become knowable through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and has demonstrated the reality that he is God in human flesh through the immutable fact of resurrection. So if you look at it from a historical perspective, Christ suffered fatal torment. I don't know many people today that doubt that. The second thing is that the tomb is empty. The Christian faith cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. The third evidence is that scared, scattered disciples became lions of the faith because Christ appeared to them. That's the only explanation. And they were utterly transformed as a result of it. So the evidence for the resurrection is powerful evidence that the one who created is not only ineffable beyond our ken, but is also knowable in incarnation.
Well, I'm willing to say that there is evidence for Jesus in the New Testament and the resurrection. But if my standard of evidence is higher than what the evidence provided entails, why would I be punished for that when God has given me the mind that establishes and wants a higher level of evidence?
Yeah. Okay. Fair question. We're coming to a station break. If you'll hang on, I'll address that when we come back from the break. Good conversation with Jason. And Jason represents a lot of people in our culture today. Reasonable, intelligent, kind, and he's willing to communicate. We'll do that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says the universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky? Illustra Media's film Origin demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The second century theological warrior Irenaeus stands among the most relevant thinkers for our own time. His reliance on the church's apostolic canon, creed, and clergy shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualist approach to Christianity. Other topics include the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, faithful living through COVID-19, winning the fight for religious freedom, the beauty of worship, aesthetics, and truth, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, atheism and the burden of proof, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Jason, a really important call, a very important question. We're talking about the standard of evidence. And I think you were saying before the break, Jason, that your standard of evidence is higher than the standard of evidence that I gave you with respect to the resurrection. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So here's what I would say to that, and I'd be interested in your rejoinder. I was thinking when you said that of Acts chapter 17, where Paul is on Mars Hill, and you remember he famously said, from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they would live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. The point of quoting that is that God is saying that the evidence that he has given is sufficient, and in Acts chapter 17, that evidence is pointed towards resurrection. So the cumulative case, of course, is the one that I gave you before the break. We have the evidence from nature, we have the evidence from conscience, and we have the evidence of Christ in his resurrection. Not only in his resurrection, by the way, in his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And that should be sufficient. But I think there's a greater point to be communicated to you specifically, Jason, and that is that I have always said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and throughout my ministry that it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. Now, in your case, you don't despise truth. You're looking for truth. And my firm belief is that if you look for truth with an open heart, you will jettison all those paradigms that don't make sense in an age of scientific enlightenment. You said in the first part of the show today that you jettison the idea of evolution. It doesn't make sense to you. Well, that's really the only other game in town. Everything is either a function of a creator or a function of chance processes working over time. So you've jettisoned one because it doesn't comport with reality, and I commend you for doing that, but I don't know what other option there is other than the option you already accept, which is that there is a God. Now the question is, has God revealed himself? And I think that evidence is compelling as well.
I would say that God doesn't want to reveal himself. Whoever created us is hiding from us, because all it would take is 5 seconds once a year for God to pop out of the heavens and say, hey, I'm still here. Everybody's still obeying my laws. But it seems to me that he has not made much of an effort to show himself to us. And that really makes me question whether or not the Bible is the Word of God, because you quoted a lot from the Bible as if it is the Word of God, but if I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, then those quotes don't really mean anything. And also, you've been quoting from the New Testament, and if I think the New Testament was made up for some such reason, then your quotes from the New Testament don't mean anything. So all I'm asking for is a little bit more evidence, and it seems like, hey, it wouldn't take that much from God to just pop out of the heavens once a year and say, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah, what's interesting about that argument is that it's sort of the argument made in Luke chapter 16. Remember there, Jesus tells a story of a rich man and a beggar lying by his gate. And they both die, and the rich man ends up in eternity, and he's in torment. And he wants Lazarus to be sent back by Father Abraham to warn his five brothers so they do not come to a place of torment like the place of torment that he's in. And the enigmatic reply is they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, the argument that Jesus Christ is making is that all the evidence anyone could possibly want is already available. And to pop up and say, I'm still here, is to do something which is completely gratuitous, and not only gratuitous, but wouldn't solve the problem. Because if you can't believe what you already have, you're not going to believe a resurrection. You're going to find some way of explaining that away all the same. So the evidence that we have is a compelling case. And by the way, I relate to you, Jason, because I went through the same dilemma when I was somewhere between the time of 14 and 29 years of age. And I took the time to look at the evidences, and the evidences were so overwhelming that even if someone rose from the dead, it wouldn't be any more compelling than the evidence we already have. There's certain evidences that you simply don't have to see to believe. You don't have to see gravity to believe in gravity. You don't have to see dark matter or black holes to believe in them. You believe in them because all of the evidence points to them. And so I, once again, would simply use the biblical argument. And by the way, I wouldn't make a dichotomy. I wouldn't be a dichotomaniac between the testaments themselves. The testaments are congruent. They're not different testaments. One is types and shadows. The other is fulfillment. In other words, one points to something. The other is what is pointed to and demonstrates that it's the fulfillment of the types and shadows. So I think we have all of the evidence that we need. We can demonstrate that God created the universe. We can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And we can point to the fact of resurrection. And that cumulative case ought to be strong enough for anyone to believe that there's a God and that God has revealed himself and that God can be known. If you search for him, with your whole heart, you will find him.
Okay. Well, thanks for all your time, Hank. I appreciate the conversation.
Well, anytime, Jason. I really, you know, I love people like you, and I have a great heart for people like you. Number one, I see myself in you, and number two, I love the fact that you know how to communicate, and you're doing a good job of it. And pray that you keep on searching.
All right. Thanks, Tate. Take care.
You got it, Jason. Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Hank, do you think any of the apostles had the revelation that Jesus was God in the flesh before the day of Pentecost?
Well, they would have had it if they understood the scriptures which pointed to Jesus Christ. But people, even disciples, are darkened in their understanding unnecessarily. What's really evident to all is if you know the Old Testament, it gives you a picture of what is fulfilled, as I said to Jason, in the New Testament. So the disciples should have had that evidence.
Right. But is there any indication that they did have the revelation before the day of Pentecost?
Yeah. In fact, Peter actually says that very thing. The Apostle Peter says that the church founded by Jesus Christ was not only foreseen but foreknown as a result of the Old Testament testimony.
Right.
And of course, Thomas, you know, he ultimately, on the basis of Christ's revelation, says, "My Lord and my God," and he's pointing back to the fact that Jesus Christ now becomes the epitome of everything forecast or foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Now he recognizes the reality of that in Jesus Christ. So again, the old fulfilled in the new. And that's why we always say, quoting Hebrews, that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, because not it's a different covenant, but it's the fulfillment of the other covenant.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Do want to mention three books. I probably should have mentioned them to Jason. My book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. My book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. And then my book, Resurrection. Those three books deal with the three great apologetic issues. And I spent a lot of time writing them. They are available in print. Check it out on the web, equip.org. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The film Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from? And why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles, equipping you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The question, "What do you mean by that?" may be the most important question one could ask today. In this relativistic post-truth age in which words are systemically redefined to undermine the Judeo-Christian foundations of Western civilization, Christians must discern the meaning of words and learn to counter and redeem semantic distortions. Other topics include faithful living through COVID-19, Irenaeus and Christian teaching, winning the fight for religious freedom, vocation and performance in T.S. Eliot's The Confidential Clerk, the beauty of worship, aesthetics and truth, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.